Hey friends, welcome back to Saga Dunker Rush. We are glad you're here with us so we can talk about what's been going on in the soccer world, compare tactics, compare crushes, talk about all the wildness that is happening, because it's a lot.
It's a lot. While you're here, are you already following us on soccer_crush on Twitter and Instagram? You can tell us who your soccer crush is, hang out for soccer news and silliness, thirst traps, stop by, say hi, and tell us your favorite MLS orange and blue club with the 2023 MLS Landon Donovan MVP, Lucho Acosta.
Yeah, and don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast 5 stars wherever you get them, and share it with your coolest friends and women's soccer couples only. We have a brand. We have to upkeep that.
It's true.
Guys, I missed you. It was weird not recording, but you guys did a fantastic job, and I'm glad that Abby could step in my place and make sure that the Holy Trinity was still intact.
Yes, I thought it was just perfect that our guest was an Abby.
It was strange.
It was.
Yeah. It was, and you, I just want to say you did a very good job of not getting into a fight over Liverpool and Chelsea.
I think Trisha really had to restrain herself.
It's true. My therapy is working. In case anyone was wondering, does therapy work? It does.
You did a very good job. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, but now we're back. So let's get back into our antics.
Yeah, fuck Liverpool.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I was holding on to that one.
Grr.
You can say fuck Chelsea. It's fine. I also say that sometimes.
I'm not really threatened by them because they're so far below us on the table.
I get it. I wouldn't be either.
Oh, man. I missed this.
Good to be back.
I have a very important rapid fire that I almost exploded about. Okay. In honor of the eclipse, who is your favorite character from Twilight?
Charlie.
Jessica.
Ooh,
In the movies.
Yeah.
Bella, where you been, loca?
I had to look up Anna Kendrick's character's name because she's the only one who has any sense.
Yes, so. Perfect. I am also a Charlie fan. Like, just Bella's dad, he's just practical and just doesn't want to be about it, and I appreciate that.
I'm a team Bella's cactus in the first movie.
Ooh, yeah.
Bella's cactus.
She was from Arizona, and what better way to let people know than to hold a...
Just carry a little cactus.
Carry a cactus.
She most definitely was not actually allowed to bring on the plane.
No. When I walk around, I carry 3 things in my hand to let people know I'm from Ohio. What 3 things do you think those are?
Skyline chili.
A black eye.
Yeah, those 2 of them.
And Joe Burrow.
And a Republican voter registration?
Badumps.
It's funny to think that I am allowed to touch that. I would be set on fire. The 3rd thing is Geta.
Oh, yes. Geta, perfect.
That's us.
That should have been my rapid fire, but it's not. Instead, my rapid fire is, which soccer player do you think has the personality to make it in the WWE?
Zlatan.
Yeah.
Sydney LaRue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think she could just lay down
Trinity
some
Rodman.
Whoop ass.
Trinity Rodman, yes.
Absolutely. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beth, what about your rapid fire?
Oh, yeah. In honor of the 4 airplane rides I took since the last time I saw you, do you prefer an aisle or the window?
I'm an aisle seat.
I'm a window seat.
I like the window.
Do you?
If we're going to crash, I want to see it. I want to see our imminent death happen if we're going to crash.
It's true. Yeah. I don't know why I'm thinking about it right now, but I'm thinking of Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids when she said that she could see an old pioneer woman. I don't know why I pictured that, but I was like, I just want to be able to see the pioneer woman.
You're right.
You're too far.
You wouldn't miss that.
Yeah, you don't want to miss the pioneer woman. You're right.
Stove is a Steve. I'm a man and my name is Steve.
Speaking of men, I have a headline about a man, Cole Palmer. That is it. That's the entirety of the headline. In the Premier League, in 26 matches, he has 16 goals, 9 assists. And for reference, Mo has played 25 matches with 17 goals, 9 assists. And that man, City Norwegian troll, is 25 matches in, and he has 19 goals and 5 assists. That kid is on fire.
He really is.
On fire.
So he came from Man United and just hat-tricked on this weekend, and it was beautiful, and I loved it. And I also thought it was interesting how much hate Stamford Bridge had for Mason Mount there.
It's and a little much.
Yeah.
Funny, but it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Hmm.
Well, I don't have a real headline. It's a Twitter rumor, but okay. I've seen several tweets about it.
That's really
apparently it's my headline. It's a headline to me. Apparently, Messi confronted Monterey's coach after, like, went to the locker room and confronted Monterey's coach after Miami lost the first leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, because the CONCACAF Champions Cup is very serious. But I just want to know, did he bring in pizza?
I want to know how many games he was suspended.
He's going to get suspended. Yeah. Interesting.
Zero. And I've heard nothing, like, from the league about it, about investigating it or anything.
But it was a problem when Matt Miazga did it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Another man being punished for being attractive.
Who would you rather be confronted by, Matt Miazga or Messi?
I could kick Messi's butt. No, I couldn't. Maybe. I mean, he's shorter than me.
Matt Miazga brings you pizza when he yells at you. I would obviously take the pizza.
I'm not going to be confronted by any man who's yelling at me, first of all.
Yeah, I don't really want anyone to yell at me.
I will kick you where it hurts.
Hide under the desk. I don't like confrontation. So,
are you insinuating that the MLS has special rules for certain players if they bring in however much money, and that certain players just expect that they should win things? Interesting.
I am insinuating that, Abby.
I am saying it. The MLS has special rules for Messi, and it's bullshit, and I'm a huge Messi fan, and I ain't like any of this.
It's real dumb.
So stupid. Just like my headline, which also might be just a rumor, because I've been trying to follow up on it to see if there is any more traction, and I have not found it. So, according to the Twitter, so breaking news, Miami United players are alleged to have gone into the Hard Rock Cafe and bet on their own game in the U.S. Open Cup via the betting kiosks. They won their match 2-0. Traders recognized it after a few bets were made, and the tribe notified the gaming commission. All alleged. I haven't been able to find anything else on it, but it takes betting on yourself to a whole new level.
So,
do you think they were already at the Hard Rock Cafe and just, like, had the idea to do it? Or do you think they went to the Hard Rock Cafe specifically to bet on themselves?
I don't know.
Do you think they know who Pete Rose is? Because I introduced them to a Cincinnati legend.
He'll never be in the Hall of Fame.
Because what did we learn from him? Is that even when you bet on yourself,
don't.
You can't go into the Hall of Fame.
Really can't.
Interesting.
Hmm.
You know what else is interesting?
Favorite match.
Your favorite match.
Ooh.
You know what else is interesting? That Evan Lauro saved during the FCC game.
And that PK.
Great. We're not talking about the rest of the game. That is relevant. I want to be very clear here. That's not what we are discussing. We are discussing Evan Lauro's thighs and Evan Lauro's penalty save.
That's very good.
That is it. Okay.
It's very exciting to see him get his MLS debut, and I think we'll be seeing more of him. I also wish we... Did you guys see that they put a Kroger bag in his locker?
Yeah.
Yes! I did!
Roman.
I bet Evan was like, I'm not walking in with that. That is not... That's fine. Publix or bust.
I loved it. In my mind, the imaginary story I told is that Roman sent him, like, a special treat to have for after the game. Like,
maybe he did Kroger
in honor of his first start.
Yeah. He did a little Kroger drop off to the stadium for him, because maybe. You can do that.
Yeah, I would think so.
All right. Mine is that the Old Firm Derby is the Rangers versus Celtic. It was a 3-3 draw, but don't worry if you're watching Scottish Premiership like me. Celtic's still on top by 1 point. And there's a club that is entertaining the idea of having celebrity investors a la Ryan Reynolds, and they have reached out to Her Majesty Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
She has the money to spare. It'll be fine. I'm
Yeah.
besties with the Mahomes and with Blake and Ryan, who all invest in soccer. Maybe she's next.
I would love that. I'll cheer for any Taylor's teams, unless it's another MLS club. I want to be very specific. Or another Premier League club. If
Or
she
they're
chooses
not
a
her
league that
team.
I don't currently follow.
What if Taylor Swift invests in Chelsea?
Oh,
If, I don't want her to do that. That would be a terrible idea, but I'm just curious because if she invested in Liverpool, I would not support them. Sorry, Taylor.
I
Neither of
would
those
be very
clubs need
happy for you.
investing in.
No, they don't.
They have their blood
I
money.
know, but I'm just saying, like, what if? Like, if she invested in Louisville, nope. Even if it was Racing Lou, like, I support Racing Lou. Like, but Lou City Men's, no, I don't think she would invest in men.
I really would prefer that Taylor invest in a women's team.
Yeah.
My strong preference. That'll help me choose a women's team to be behind because I have been have a hard, been having a hard time committing since we don't have one locally.
Because you just want to see all the women succeed. It's hard. Good for
Yeah.
them. Speaking of women succeeding, Beth.
Oh yeah, so I didn't watch a lot of soccer because I was traveling, but I did get to see a little clip of Darwin's ninja kick goal in the Liverpool versus Sheffield United. But my favorite sports that I watched was basketball, Iowa versus South Carolina in the NCAA championship. It was a great game, and I very much enjoyed it while I was in my pajamas yesterday afternoon
I
recovering
love
from
Dawn
traveling.
Staley. I think she is amazing. I know everyone was like, oh, I want Caitlin Clark to win. Caitlin's going to be fine. Let's be honest. She's
Yes,
going to be
she'll
fine.
win.
I'm very excited for Dawn Staley. I think she's a great coach. And it's interesting that the reporters took to asking the women about trans people in sports when they've never asked any of the men's coaches about it. I'm just saying. And Dawn's answer was, okay, like if you identify as a woman, you want to play sports, let them. Like, why are you trying to make a distraction out of something? She's badass. Respect.
Really felt like a win-win scenario watching the game that you as a neutral, like either you get to see South Carolina have their very perfect season and or you got to see Caitlin top off her career with a win. But
I think
either
it's
way, it
been
was
proof that,
exciting.
invest in women's sports. How many people were watching this? Like, this was
A
amazing.
lot. 14.3 million. It was more
Yeah.
than the Stanley Cup combined. It was more than like World Series. It was more than NCAA football, except the Ohio State Michigan game or playoffs, I think. So, women,
Invest in women.
Do it.
it's up and up.
Do it, Taylor.
Taylor.
Taylor's listening to this.
All right, guys, are you ready for a tactics break? And then
I'm
to
ready
get
for our
ready for
guest.
defense.
I'm excited for our guest.
Yeah, me too. All
We'll be
right,
back.
let's go talk tactics. All right, crushes, welcome back. Thank you for sticking around with us. We hope you had a fantastic tactics break. We sure did. And our guest has joined us. And you may have heard him here once before, but please welcome Jose, our Dallas FC, Arsenal, Barcelona, Goals TV founder, bestie, and footy content veteran. Jose,
Thank
we're
you
so happy
so
to
much.
see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. The invite was a no-brainer for me. You read off my teams too, which depending on which one of you, the audience knows about, I'm a little bit down bad right now. But at the end of the day, I'm always down to talk footy, and I'm glad to join you ladies today.
Well, we are so happy to have you, and thank you for bringing us on to your passion project, your baby project, and letting us be part of the Goals family. It's so much fun to connect with other soccer content creators and seeing all the things that are out there. It's like one-stop shop. So if you're not checking it out, you really should be. There's something for everybody. A little bit biased. We might be the most fun, but there's more fun to be had. Promise.
No, definitely. And I will say, I think your show is still one of the more unique ones on the platform. I think Soccer Crush in terms of being just all female led, feeling like you have just this camaraderie that only friends can really have on a show. Sometimes soccer content can look and feel similar to each other, right? We're all talking about our own various favorite teams and whatnot. I will say this show definitely has its own original spin on Goals TV. So go check it out, golz.tv.
Yeah, absolutely. You can catch us there all season and for the rest of forever. But today we'll catch you here. And we were just wondering about your soccer love story. How did you get into soccer? What do you love about it? How did you get into content creation and hosting, platforming?
Yeah, no, I mean, the content piece is actually something I'll jump into here in a second. It's a very unique story. But I think, you know, my soccer love story is probably similar to those of like, you know, I'm Mexican American. I think other family members of mine will echo this probably, and probably other Hispanic cultures out there. Many of us are kind of born into it to an extent. You know, my family personally, my dad loves sports in general, but I think with his love for soccer, it brought me into it really quickly. What's cool about my dad, though, is that there is one love that he pushed on me that I've always carried with me. It's never going to go anywhere. It's my passion for FC Barcelona. It's one thing that I just really have a choice. Like, it was like, hey, coming out the womb, here you go. This is your team. Support them. Love them like I do. Here are the stories, right? This was pre-Messi, pre all the glory days that everybody knows the club to be associated with now. But outside of that, like, what was cool about my dad was that he let me kind of choose who I supported outside of that, regardless of who he supports, which means that he and I are probably, you know, bantering and fighting on some days. The Premier League, for example, you know, he's a massive Chelsea fan. And, you know, me personally, nothing wrong with Chelsea when I was coming up. There were some great players that played, but I just was always drawn to Arsene Wenger and Arsenal and what they were building. More specifically, in the early 2000s, when I became a fan, like 2001, 2002, they were really on the cusp of like being the only team, in my opinion, to kind of challenge what Sir Alex Ferguson was building with United. So, and it was just like, it felt like a hipster pick. Like, I'll be honest, like everybody, especially if you grew up here in the States back then, they only showed the big, big Premier League games. They didn't really show anything else, right? They showed a lot of Manchester United back then. I just felt like anybody who did watch soccer, which there weren't a lot of my friends who did, they knew about United, but nobody else. And so I was like, I'm going to go against the grain and pick the team that, you know, doesn't have as many English players playing for them. And, you know, they have more, you know, dark skinned players kind of playing for them. And this coach who didn't really believe in the tried and true English way of playing, he kind of brought his own uniqueness to the game through his tactics, through the players that he recruited, everything. So it you know, in a weird way, I don't like claiming myself as like a soccer hipster or anything along those lines, but it's just what it felt like. It was an against the grain pick, and it stuck with me ever since then. And for those who know Arsenal's history, I've had some down, I don't even want to say years, probably a decade of my life that has just been like, you know, just the hardest of weeks and weekends to support this club through everything that it's been through. But now fast forward to where we are today, I'm obviously loving it in a way that I was never able to enjoy it as a teenager. So it's been huge. I think, you know, my soccer love story, what my parents were able to kind of do for me, and what it's kind of propelled to over time. I mean, keep in mind, I played myself. I came up here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I came up through FC Dallas's academy. That's where my passion for the club really comes from. Played college ball for a couple years, but I didn't do anything crazy with the game as a player. I moved into business midway throughout college and kind of followed that passion all the way through. But I didn't really start creating content until I had this idea for Goals TV, believe it or not. And for those who don't know the story, I mean, it's with Goals TV, I was solving a problem for myself. I wasn't trying to build this thing that I thought could bring soccer content creators together and make soccer cool in America. That's our mission today. But, you know, it was during COVID. I was trying to figure out how to like watch more content on the internet while we're all indoors trying to figure out what to do with our lives. I was trying to find more content on the internet that told stories that I wanted to listen to and just could not find it. It was crazy. On YouTube, I wanted to find Asian soccer content or African soccer content, or just go deep on some stories that I know existed beyond the first two divisions of, let's say, the English pyramid, which is very famous. And there just weren't that many out there. Even our southern neighbors, right? Like if I wanted to go find Mexican soccer content, it's difficult to find a knowledgeable person who speaks English. It just is. It's very, very difficult. Almost all of them speak Spanish only. So I started thinking to myself, man, it's amazing. This game is so global, so huge. Yet a one-stop shop for it doesn't exist here in North America. Like, it just doesn't. And there's so many creators. There are so many fans who love this game so much, just like yourselves, who head to the internet and want to talk about it. They want to talk about it with their friends. They want to talk about it with fans who oppose their views. They want to create content for others who may not be as open about their passion and just simply want to tune in. There's all these folks that I was just meeting all the time on the internet in COVID. And I just thought, I mean, why not build this? I could, you know, through my network of working at an Amazon corporate once upon a time, just find a developer, work with them and see if we could build this thing. You know, fast forward to where we are today, you know, we got 70 plus different content creators on the platform, Soccer Crush being one of the most passionate and most supportive of them. And, you know, they span across.
To say that.
You know, you definitely had to plug that in there. No, I think it's just one of those things where, like, you know, through this venture, I get to meet so many creators who exude passion and want to see not just their channels and their shows grow, right? Everybody wants that, but just want to see a culture created around this game that's uniquely ours, right? I don't think any fan on the side of the world wants to mimic what goes on in England. Maybe they do kind of in theory, but they just want the passion to be there, even if it's kind of branded as our own fan culture. England's not the same as South America. South America's not the same as Asia. Asia's not the same as Africa. They all love this game immensely, but they do it in their own way. I think that right now, while we're in the most exciting time for in this country to be a soccer fan, right, with what's coming, 2026 World Cup, the 25 Club World Cup, 2024 Copa America this summer, Messi being in MLS. Like, there's all of these things. A perfect storm is kind of, you know, building, if you will. And if we don't take advantage of it, right, if we don't try to create something that's going to impact our culture positively during this time, I don't think it'll ever happen. So this is my attempt. Goals TV is my attempt at doing that. And where content kind of came from, to be honest, I was never a content creator, never thought in my life I'd be a talking head on the internet regarding any of my passions. But it was through Goals TV, the earliest days, I was like reaching out to content creators. I had nothing built. There was no website to show. It was just an idea that I was verbalizing over Zoom calls like this, seeing if any creators would be interested in it. And as I talked to more creators, they would all kind of ask if I was doing content, you know, like almost like, well, you know, you're talking the talk, but where's the walking part? Right. And I kind of thought to myself, you're right. I don't know how to walk this walk. I don't know how to put myself in your shoes and understand the ups and downs of growing something from scratch based on your own opinions and your own values. And so, you know, when we launched this thing in late 2022, before launching the product itself, I spent the last like 4 to 5 months before that just starting up a show, trying to put my opinions out there, bring others in, creators that I was talking to just through trying to pitch Goals TV. And, you know, we've scaled this thing up to where we are today now, which still is pretty small in comparison to what it could be. But I think we have a lot more traction than obviously when we first started out. So that's a long-winded answer to your question. But I think that, you know, that's my soccer love story. I'm hoping that it's just the beginning, though.
It's very exciting. I think you're right. We are in the perfect storm. Something that I get very argumentative about is when people are like, there's no soccer culture in North America. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? Like, have you been here? Like, I've met so many people who love it so much and spend their time in supporters groups and showing up in matches and painting TIFOs. And what do you mean there's no culture here? So I think defining it a little bit more organically, something that belongs to us, is so important.
I agree. And I think it's, I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said. I think you guys, you know, live in a market, right? And as Cincy fans, where you have a very fervent culture. I think that the issue with the United States is that it's so big, right? The markets are so distinctly separated that I live in Dallas, where, don't get me wrong, we have nearly a sellout crowd every single time at Toyota Stadium, the 19,000 plus fans that go to that's Dallas games week in and week out. But I wouldn't say there's a culture that defines us, right? It's like we have the supporters group, El Matador, that's decent. It's not as big as some of the other supporters groups out there. But, you know, I would say the rest of the fans who tune in are buying into this kind of early, right? Like, we're still trying to define what the culture of our fan base will look like. And there's a lot of, you know, markets out there who kind of fall into that weird gray place, right? Not black, not white, but just kind of in the middle, still trying to figure out where we go. And I think that this is the best time now, if you haven't jumped into soccer in a big way, to jump in, because we're all at a point right now where we can kind of define what that means to all of us. And that way, when fans come over to the States for the 2026 World Cup, they can feel it. You know, they can feel it when they step on into those stadiums for the first time. They experience what it's like over here. It's going to be meshed in with all these other cultures that are coming to experience it. But I'm hoping that they'll be able to latch onto something that they feel is North American in every sense of the word.
Yeah, it's exciting.
For sure.
What else is exciting?
Our rapid fires.
The ridiculous list of rapid fire questions we have.
It's a long list. It's a long list. Ridiculous is probably a good word for it.
We cut it down to.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they were longer. Got it.
Have lots of questions.
Yeah. You know. All right. Starting off with a hard hitter. Who is your soccer crush?
I might have given you this answer on a personal level off air before we ever recorded. So scratch that. Whatever memory you have of that, put it away.
You can have multiple crushes. It's fine.
That's true, but I feel like the OG is super important. I feel like it is. And if I think back to that, it's like I touched on like what my loves were, you know, in terms of my soccer love story and how I got into this game. I mean, Barcelona was the first club I ever started really kind of paying attention to, and it framed how I thought about the game here in the States. In the light of multiple crushes, I'll have one that's overseas and one that's domestic. I'm a defender through and through. And to me, and as a player, I was passionate. I was passionate that they come. You could hear me from the top of the bleachers on the pitch. I mean, that's just kind of how I always played the game. I wanted to make sure everybody knew where I was and I was directing traffic. I'm a big fan of Carlos Puyol. Massive, massive fan. I think people go back to like center backs and like, he hardly ever gets mentioned because of the Sergio Ramoses of the world, of all these other guys who just maybe have a more trophy-laden career, whatever the case may be. I can't think of another player who could break an arm or a leg on the field and still play. Like, still be out there doing the damn thing and setting the example for everybody, right? Like, if fans were throwing things at him, you know, he'd probably just find a way to brush it right off, get back on the field, and get back to winning. I mean, a gladiator, an absolute gladiator that I would take on any team, any day of the week. That man has a soft spot in my heart forever until I die. But domestically, I don't know if this, you know, is a name on your radar at all, but before they were FC Dallas, Dallas Burn were at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. That's who I started watching MLS under whenever I was coming up as a kid. And I don't know if the name Ariel Graziani rings a bell. But Graziani, man, that he was like the attacking version of Puyol to an extent. The guy was just a show every time you went. I don't know how many fans are going to the Cotton Bowl back then. In 1998, it was probably like, I don't know, a few thousand maybe, like nothing crazy. Soccer was in its infancy back then. It still kind of is, but Graziani, man, this guy was playing with Jason Christ. He was the other forward up top. Every time he missed a shot, he was like running to the advertisement boards and kicked the hell out of them. Like, he just took everything personal, like everything. Yeah. I mean, the guy you never wanted to fight on the pitch, he was and had just epic locks like Puyol did, to be honest. Yeah. Curly, just long curly hair, kind of looked like Jesus a little bit. Yeah. I mean, those two did, you know, they set everything for me in terms of the tone. So I have a very soft spot for those two gentlemen.
They sound very crush-worthy.
Very crush-worthy.
Which artist should do the next World Cup song?
You know, I thought about this, oddly enough, not this question, but like the World Cup song, because every now and then, you know, my favorite one was Shakira's 2010 anthem, I think.
Correct. That is the correct answer, yes.
Yeah. I think we need to get, in the spirit of what's going on with J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar right now, I think we need to get a Shakira diss track for the World Cup song. A Shakira, like Gerard Piqué diss track.
That is the right answer.
Let that be the anthem. I want to hear that, but with the same, I don't even know if it's possible, the same upbeat, up-tempo to it, not necessarily like a diss track per se, but just something that digs at that man a little bit. And
he deserves burden.
And I keep in mind, I'm a fan of Piqué because he's a Barcelona guy, right? Obviously, I have to be. But I think just that whole saga and how it all went down, I was like, this man got dragged through the mud like some players I've never seen. So, you know, that would be stupid hilarious. It really would. Ridiculous.
Shakira's always the right answer.
That's a good one.
Which player would you invite to your birthday party? Shakira could be an option. She could come.
If it's a birthday party now, and if, you know, The wife and the kid are away. Probably Jack Grealish. I don't know anybody that parties like that. It's gotta be Grealish, man. This guy knows how to do it right. And
Yeah.
it's gotta be a reincarnation of the treble party. Like whatever that was, that 3-day bender, for one time in my life, I am totally down.
I feel like having a birthday party with Jack Grealish in Vegas, like I don't think anyone could would survive it. Like I
No.
think you would
Night.
I think if you don't die, it's a W.
Yeah.
Huge
That
W.
should be the next season of Survivor.
Yes. Vegas. Jack Grealish. Yeah.
Love that. Love that.
All right. Which soccer club owner or celebrity soccer club owner would you like to hang out with?
Oh, there's more
What's
than
the
a
new
few.
thing? That's the new thing, right? Like celebrities are investing in soccer clubs.
I mean, for the stories and because of the team he came up with, I mean, Beckham's a big one, right? And just from a player perspective, I want to pick his mind. But interestingly enough, I would go with LAFC's Will Ferrell easily. I
That'd be
think,
fun.
yeah, it'd
That'd
be
be
so
fun.
much fun. I'd be laughing hysterically. I'd probably, I don't know, find a way that we could just both have a good time, get drunk, and just tell stories. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if I just hang out with Will Ferrell for, I don't know how long. What are we talking? Like, how long of a period are we hanging out?
There are no
There
rules
are no
here.
rules.
So at least
No,
for
no
a whole
rule.
match, probably
It could be
afterwards.
like 5 minutes, and then you guys could just bond and be besties and hang out forever. We don't know.
It could be. It could be. I definitely want to be friends with Will Ferrell, 100%. I'm like one of my favorite movies of all time is Step Brothers. Anytime it comes on, I find a way to watch it. I have a soft spot for that guy too. It's got to be one of the most entertaining hangouts of all time.
No doubt.
Besides us. Well, yeah.
Besides this current
Well,
hangout,
between
100%.
you and me.
100%.
If you could pick any match broadcast team, who would it be?
So I know who my color commentator would be. Well, actually, there's probably two of them. There's one that's like very romantic for me in terms of like when I hear him talk, this man gives me goosebumps. I feel like, regardless of what, it could be the smallest game in the world. It could be a local
So
youth
Idris
pickup
Elba.
game.
Idris Elba, got it. Next.
Idris Elba's good. Idris Elba's good. I think my wife would agree with you. I don't know. I think Peter Drury's like he has like this art of commentary that I feel like just is unmatched right now. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ray Hudson though. When he used to do Messi's Barcelona games, this man would use adjectives that I've never heard a commentator use.
Get your
I
thesaurus
love
out.
him. Yeah, he's whipping out magisterial and like all these other words. I'm just like,
Ooh, Ogie fans.
bro, I'm locked in like this. If you were only like if you had a game on and in the background it's like white noise while you're doing work, you'd probably put the work down and you're now watching the game because he's got you locked in with his vocabulary. So I think it has to be one of those two guys, and then the person next to them would just have to be just for who is
Will
it?
Ferrell.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say somebody who's not a traditional commentator, just for like the discussion, the banter back and forth. Anybody who's good on the mic but isn't necessarily a soccer person.
Jack Black.
Jack Black would be awesome. Jack Black would be
Done.
fucking awesome for that. I would take that in a heartbeat.
That would be hilarious.
Done.
Be
If
very
your soccer crush
hilarious.
offered to take you out to dinner, where are you going and what are you ordering? No rules.
Oh. Guys, I'm super basic. I'm super basic with dinner. I tend to eat standing up too, just how busy I am. It's kind of crazy. I usually just like eat, put it down quickly, and kind of move on. But if I have time to kind of sit down and go somewhere, oof. Probably without putting brand names out there, it's probably somewhere Italian, somewhere like
Olive
good.
Garden.
Olive Garden's not bad, actually. I don't mind Olive Garden. I don't mind Olive Garden.
You said
That's totally good.
Italian. I'm just being authentic
No,
here.
no haters on Olive Garden. There's no slander on Olive Garden. I'll take that
I just
too.
went to Olive Garden yesterday,
There
so.
you go. Hey, there you go. Olive Garden, totally fine. Chicken parm from Olive Garden, why not? I would also say too, if I had to pick a spot though, specifically in Chicago, there is this hole in the wall thin crust pizza that I absolutely have every time that I go. It's in Elmwood Park. It's called Gio's. I'd probably go there if I had to pick like somewhere specific. And yeah, I'm getting a pizza. I mean, no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm getting pizza. So that's got to be the spot, I think, regardless of if it's my soccer crush or anybody else taking it.
Sounds perfect.
Olive Garden's a good shout, though. I'm not gonna have any Olive Garden slander. That's good.
Olive Garden.
Absolutely not.
Which three soccer players do you want on your zombie apocalypse team? So it's zombie apocalypse. You get three players to help you survive.
You can sacrifice any of them if you want to.
Zombie apocalypse team. I think this team has to be like, not just like good at soccer, right? But they also got to be
Got to
just
be survival. Yeah, just
survival worthy.
yeah.
Matty Alford,
Man.
everyone hates him.
Sergio Ramos comes up a lot.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, honestly, Ramos, Pepe, two absolutely hated individuals. And I'm trying to think who like a third would be. I want this team to just be like the nastiest, grimiest team on the planet. Someone who like anybody would fear. It doesn't matter
Sophia
who's
Smith.
playing him. Sophia Smith would be a good one too. Actually, I might put Trinity Rodman up there before Sophia Smith, if we're being honest.
She's
I don't know
also on
why.
my
He
team.
is
Yeah, if I
nasty.
do pick one.
Yeah, yeah. She's got this like grittiness to her when I see her play that I'm just like, yeah, she's
She's
someone that
surviving
you,
the
yeah, she's
apocalypse.
surviving. You don't want to play against her for reasons other than the fact that she's a zombie. Yeah, and she's insanely fast as a zombie. She'd track you down like this. Yeah, th those three specifically, Pepe Ramos and Trinity Rodman. I'll take that.
Love it.
Which team would you relegate if you could? Any league, even if they don't have promotion relegation.
Bonus points if you say the Crew.
Ooh, I like that game.
Saying an MLS team in
I
general would be hilarious.
hate
I'll give you an MLS version and maybe like an abroad version. MLS, Inter Miami for the vibes. I think it'd be hilarious to see a world where Messi and friends get demoted down and just what happens to that fan base when they thought they were going to win absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
it would be hilarious. But globally, God, it would be great to see either Manchester United or Spurs go down. It would be the mayhem that we all deserve, that I would be there for it no matter what. I'd probably, if I absolutely had to, like even go as far as quitting a job to be there in person the day it all went down. Like,
And watch
yeah,
heads
yeah.
literally explode.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to
Most
see it happen in
likely.
person. If they would have let me go, I would quit my job. Like it 1,000% would
Do
just be I'm there for it no matter what.
you know what I was waiting for you to say? Is you to be like, I wish Chelsea would get relegated so I could laugh at my dad. And I was about to be like, in this
You know what? I didn't say Chelsea because there's like it's actually somewhat realistic, right? I was trying to go with like what would never
Whoa.
happen,
Is it because
but you know,
so
Chelsea
much
being in left
pressure
tackle
on
eleven
you
place, you know, it's you're actually maybe
guys?
closer to being relegated than you are being promoted. So,
Okay, well, thank you for joining us. It was great to see you. Goodbye. Cut that off.
great.
Which athlete from another sport do you wish played for your favorite soccer team besides Joe Burrow?
Yeah, that's our.
Besides Joe Burrow,
I
I
mean, you
think
can pick Joe
the league needs the swag of Joe Burrow, 100%.
really
Joey
do.
B's got like a different level of swag. This might be an unpopular. Does it matter what time period?
No.
Michael Jordan,
Ooh.
1,000%. Like not even comparable. I think that man's killer instinct is unmatched. And I think if we had a Jordan flu game, but the soccer version, it would go down in history forever.
Yeah, it would.
That's a great answer.
Are there any players or teams that you think have a great social media presence?
Oh yeah, there's more than a few. I think in MLS, if I had to kind of focus on one, I mean, well, Cincinnati's is fantastic, and this is not even like just me pumping you guys up. This is actually like. I'm kind of as an MLS 1.0 fan, of a team who's MLS 1.0 and has never really had the social presence that Cincinnati already kind of has. I think that's huge. Of course, the Crew are also fantastic. I know they're not loved by everybody on this show, but yes,
It's annoying, but
Crew 96 is vibes. Chicago, in a weird way, is not. Like, I don't know what's up with the Midwest and like Fire fans, but they're like, maybe there's too much going on in Chicago. I don't really know what's happening there. But outside of that, though, I guess nothing really, really compares to like globally to like the fan base. And sometimes they're too much. Sometimes I gotta tune it all out. But I will be a little bit biased here. I feel like regardless of what's going on in the world, some of the big six Premier Leagues, right? The Arsenal fans, the Man U fans, they're just such a big presence that sometimes they're too reactionary. It's too much. I got to like take a break from it for a little bit because the timeline's too crazy. So I'll, you know, kind of sticking with MLS on this one. I think that the two Ohio teams, the Hell Is Real Derby, has maybe a derby, you know, in amongst itself on the social media presence timeline. There's something there for sure.
Yeah, definitely haven't been on the receiving end of that trauma before.
Last year was good. Last year was good.
Was it?
Wow. It was good content. Good content. I was there for all of it.
Was it?
All right. Which club has had the most impact on you as a soccer fan?
Outside the clubs I support?
Whatever.
I mean, it's hard. So I obviously support Barcelona first and just as a fan, but it's hard to say its impact. I mean, it probably has to be FC Dallas. I mean, I was part of the youth system coming up for more than a few years. What's unfortunate about that, though, is I didn't make like any lifelong friends from it. I think that's probably like a knock on U.S. youth soccer a little bit, is that it's kind of become somewhat of a business. And I would say high school teams are maybe even more prevalent than the club soccer teams. But yeah, probably FC Dallas, just because like it was my path to even discovering like what the pro soccer games felt like. So back in the day, they had nobody going to it's now Toyota Stadium, but it used to be Pizza Hut Park. They had nobody really going to these games. You know, they weren't selling out stadiums at that point. So all of the players, the parents, and the youth system, after every one of our weekend matches, we just got free tickets to the game. It was just free tickets. You'd go, have a good time, experience it. And it was like an elevated experience when my dad would take me to the Cotton Bowl to watch Dallas burn back then. So you drove a little bit further out to go watch FC Dallas, but it was free tickets. And if those weren't in place, we probably, I mean, we weren't really well off when I was a kid. So we probably were never going to go. And now I'm a season ticket holder to this day. So I think FC Dallas is probably the right answer there.
What are some of your favorite soccer content accounts? Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, podcast, whatever.
Ooh.
There's some good ones here. There's some good. You mean outside of Soccer Crush specifically, right?
I mean, sure. We know we're number one in your heart. So
I like to lead in with that. Man, there's some really good ones here stateside that I really want to show some love to. I think one of my favorite ones, because of all the mayhem that ensues, is they're a group, but they do a really good job of including the fan base, is We Are Austin TV. I'll show them a lot of love on this show. I think there's a growing rivalry between Austin and Dallas. And last year was amazing just because we weren't really that great either. I think we were like 7th place in the West. But just Austin was so bad for most of last season that they're so connected to their fans. After every game, no matter what, they had a Twitter space, right, where the fans would collect and talk about the game. And man, that was like therapy for me. I loved every moment of that. Just kind of tuning in and watching the opposing fan base tear itself apart. But as much as I like to watch the world burn from that perspective sometimes, they're guys, Ednan, Brian, you know, all those guys that help run that group, they're so on it, man. They're so on it. They give the fans a voice in a way that a lot of other content groups out there don't. So I'm massive fans of what they're building. Outside of that, to me, Dead Ball TV, they've quickly grown. They're also on Goals TV. Both these guys are. Dead Ball does a lot of international soccer. So right now they're covering a lot of the Copa America stuff that's going on. Jack, who kind of runs the channel alongside Connor. And
Grealish?
I wish it was Jack Grealish. No, Jack Chadbourne's a really cool dude, but he has so many friends like globally just through soccer. You know, just like through meeting other creators, and he'll make it a point to go travel to Asia, or right now he's in Argentina, just like hanging out with some of the other creator friends that he's made along the way. Like he's someone that I think really embodies like what this game means to people, and you know, the friends that you can make through it globally, because, you know, through the internet. So, you know, Dead Ball TV, massive shout to them. And outside of that, I mean, I would say two other individual ones, Barca Boy 103, who, you know, he's a good friend of mine, does a lot of Barcelona content. And Gavincho, who's become a very good friend of mine, does the Sporting Kansas City content. If you guys haven't watched his watch-alongs, one of the more emotional fans on the internet, but just makes for fantastic content. So I have a whole list I could reel off, but those are some of my favorite creators today.
Awesome. We'll have to go hook up with them.
Do some investigating.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, is it me? It
It's
is me. Oh my
you.
gosh. Who is one player that used to be at your club that you would bring back?
Pepe,
Oh.
Ricardo Pepe. I mean, right now, just I know we went out and like Dallas got a record signing at Petar Musa, right? The 10 million, whatever they spent to get him. We're playing with a bunch of backups around him, so he's not really getting a ton of service. I think Pepe would just know what to do a little, maybe a little bit more as a forward. And then, of course, outside of that, if it's like Barcelona we're talking about, I would bring Messi back tomorrow. Not, Inter Miami, it's been real. We'll bring him back now. We'll recall him, bring him home. And then if it's Arsenal, Thierry Henry, in a
Oh,
heartbeat, in a heartbeat. That man is forever, in my opinion, the greatest Premier League player of all time.
it's too
what
bad,
is your
but okay.
favorite? What is your favorite soccer or sports themed movie or television show?
Ooh, this is a good one. Favorite soccer or sports themed movie or television show? There's so many docuseries now on Netflix that it makes it kind of hard to answer the question.
Ones.
But I think the All or Nothing series is probably the best one in terms of like storytelling, giving you a chance to see behind the scenes in the locker room that you would just fans would never really get, outside of the age of the internet. And it's Amazon, right? So they do a pretty good job, I think, that they've done across multiple teams. Even the Spurs one. I'm an Arsenal guy and I watched the Spurs one with Mourinho through and through, and it was good. It was really good. But I think the movie wise, when I was a kid, the movie Goal, The Dream Begins, was like the dream. It was like, man, it spoke to me so much, man. My dad has made that cross right from Mexico to the United States, trying to have a try, work hard for to give your son an opportunity to put to pursue the game he loves, whatever the case may be, and have it just work out for you, and you get a chance to go overseas to England to make the dream come alive. That is absolutely the dream. Even if the movie itself wasn't like the best scripted thing in the world, it's like you kind of wish your life would have worked out that way as a young Mexican American soccer fan. So I'll list those two out there for that one.
Is it good?
I would just like to say you're incorrect. The best docuseries is the Agatha Christie trial with Colleen Rich. But it's okay.
Fair, fair. What's that new one, by the way, that's come out? Was it the it's another like Wags show. I think Amazon did it. What's it called? It's about Premier League Wags, I'm pretty sure. I might be UK specific. I'm not sure. I've seen the trailers for it. It looks interesting. My wife, she doesn't really watch a ton of the game, but when we saw trailers for that, she was like, you know what? I might be, and we could watch that together. And I was like, all right, that's
That's
fair
not
enough.
it sounds very entertaining.
I would watch that because I love Housewives.
Sounds dramatic.
Anyway,
Sounds dramatic.
is there another soccer league you really want to get into?
There's so many I want to get into. There's just I think there's not enough time. Like if you watch even like three leagues, I feel like your Saturday and your Sundays are just like done. They're toasted. But yes, I believe it or not, I even though my parents are Mexican, I don't really watch Liga MX that much. I'll tune in when there's a big game every now and then. I don't really have a team. So like the Mexican league is just not one that I've ever paid attention to that much, and I'd like to. But outside of that, I'd love to get more into South America as a whole. Like, it's a level of culture that I can only aspire to, I think, as a fan. And to be at like a bucket list item of mine is to be at La Bombonera, to be there for when Boca hosts River Plate and just see what that, the entire rivalry has in store for me as a fan. I just want to get more into those leagues so that I can not just be knowledgeable, but have a real reason to go down there one day. So we'll see. Still technically a little bit young, so we'll see what happens.
There's still time.
There's still time.
What do you think MLS as a league has done well lately? Because we know they did a wild playoff structure last year. They're doing all kinds of Adidas deals with some superstar guy I don't even know of. But what have they done well, do you think?
I mean, outside of that superstar guy that you're referring to, I can't think of his name at
I
the
know.
moment. Yeah, outside of bringing him to the league, I mean, I think the one thing they've done really well, this will be a controversial topic, I think. I'm actually a fan of the Apple TV deal. I think a lot of fans out there aren't, for whatever reason, right? But I think accessibility, more accessibility is only a good thing. Sure, is it another paywall that you have to subscribe to? Of course, you know, in this day and age, you have to pay for everything. But I just think before, right, if my family down in Mexico wanted to watch MLS, there wasn't a way to do it. I think if you were in Asia, halfway across the world, you were willing to stay up to watch these games, there was never a way to do it. I think Apple TV now presents you with that. So I think, you know, boosting the accessibility, and don't get me wrong, there's still things they could do better with that. I'm surprised they haven't gone the SB Nation route and try to find independent content creators who are very knowledgeable for each of the markets and try to put them on payroll through Apple News and get more content out there. That would have been really cool. You know, there's other things they could do better, right? But with all of that said, I mean, to me, that was a major move despite how much criticism it gets even to this day.
Absolutely. And the quality is so much better than the games just look better. And I appreciate that.
Same, same.
Beth, I wrote this question just for you. Did you
Thank
know
you. And I appreciate that you put it for me to ask it. Do you think Lucho Acosta could be back-to-back MVP?
that? I think he's got a decent chance. I think with Cincy, they're starting off a little bit slower than last season, but still doing pretty damn well for where they are on the table at the moment. And that's missing, you know, his right-hand man and Vasquez. And I just Vasquez. I mean, who was the forward that you guys lost before Vasquez? It was
Brenner.
Brenner. Yeah. So to lose, you
Yeah,
know, it.
Barrial too. Yeah.
Yeah. And Body Al was, I mean, and where did he end up going? I can't remember.
Somewhere that he's not really playing. I can't
Yeah, which is
remember
kind of
either.
crazy because he was so
Yeah.
crucial moving forward as that outside back. But like he's, you know, all the pieces that Lucho no longer has access to and is still keeping the team relevant in a lot of games is massive. St slow start, but you know, I think that Cincy will do what Cincy does and still find a way to turn it on when it matters most. So yeah, why not? I think with all the drama going on with the crew and Cucho, you know, and whether or not he stays beyond summer, I'm going that far just because I've just never seen, you know, Nancy do this, or frankly, the, you know, a team in MLS just start benching players out of disciplinary issues with no real reason behind them. So who knows? A lot of things can happen. And look, I just don't want to flat out say what everybody's thinking in that, yeah, Messi's gonna win it or Luis Suarez is gonna win it or whatever. Like, sure, they're supposed to, but
No,
I
he
would much rather see Lucho win it back to back.
That's the right answer. Yeah.
My new Lucho t-shirt that I got for Christmas is pretty spectacular, so I'm pretty sure that'll probably put him over the top. Yeah. Is
Yeah.
that your good luck shirt for this season?
I think it will be. I haven't really been able to wear it yet because it is so cold here, but soon. It's short sleeved, so it's coming out. It's custom made by my sister with all my favorite pictures of
Oh, that's
Lucho on
awesome.
it, so it's gonna be pretty good.
Love.
What is your favorite part of creating soccer content?
Collaborating by far. Doing what we're doing right now. I think it's what helps the game grow. It's like what makes for better content. I think content, if you're doing it by yourself forever, it can become the most stale thing in the world. Even if you are the most knowledgeable and entertaining person on the planet, which does not exist. But you know, I think it's, yeah, it's collabing. It's just fresh ideas. Sometimes, you know, it's just people offering you perspective on even your own show that you didn't even realize that you needed or had for the talking points that you're going through. You know, all of those things. There's always someone more that either has someone out there that's either experienced more or just knows more about the game, and you can bring all of that to your audience, regardless of how big or small, on any given week. And that's the beauty of it, right? So while the sport is still this small in this country, collaborating, I think, is massive for where we want the sport to go.
Well, you can go check out so many of your collaborations at Goals TV, and you can go listen to all of our episodes because we have some there, and check out all the other content brought to you by all other kinds of fantastic content creators who know more than us, but they do not talk tactics like we do. But Jose, it was so much fun hanging out with you and learning your soccer love story and answering our silly rapid fire questions. And where can people find you if they want to go have a follow, see what you're up to?
First off, not silly rapid questions. Definitely, definitely great rapid fire questions. No, I think, look, guys, the only plug I'll leave is if you appreciate this podcast, Soccer Crush, and appreciate the mission that we're going after at Goals TV, which is to make soccer cool in America, just go check it out. GOLZ.TV is the URL. I greatly appreciate it, not even just for signing up if you do, but even if you take a look at it and offer feedback or anything along the way. We're working towards a new iteration of the platform. It will come with the launch of a mobile app late mid to late summer in 2024. So we're excited about that, boosting accessibility. I haven't teased that too much, actually. So this could be the first of many teasers out there, but an exclusive. Yeah, absolutely. But look, I mean, as we continue to build things out, I can't pretend to have all the answers. We want to build something the community really loves, not just for now, but for the future. And in order for that to happen, we need to get feedback in real time from actual soccer fans. So if that sounds like you, go check out goals.tv, go watch Soccer Crush, let us know what we're doing right, let us know what we're doing wrong, and we'll course correct as much as we can along the way. And if you do, even for a second, check it out, I will be eternally grateful. So, and I am eternally grateful to Soccer Crush for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We know
That's
we're
true.
fun though.
It's true.
We should totally go talk tactics though,
Yeah.
and maybe a game plan for how we get Lucho back-to-back MVPs.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
And that is it for today, Grushes. Thank you, Jose, for joining us. We had a great time. And remember, Soccer Crush does not exist without soccer love stories. If you would like to be a guest, please email or DM us. We would love to have you. We are the most fun, and we'd love to prove it to you.
For more fun, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at soccer_crush. Be sure to stop by, say hi, tell us who you're crushing on and who is crushing it.
And of course, thank you for listening to
Soccer
Crush.